Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to part two of our best and worst of episodes of the year 2020. The year of COVID, the year that nothing big got released, unfortunately, except earlier, very early in the year, we had a couple of movies like, what did we have, Frank? We had Birds of Prey, The Hunt.
Oh, yeah, we had Birds of Prey, we had The Hunt, we had The Last Days of American Crime.
Bad Boys,
we had, even Extraction came out kind of earlier in the year, too.
And Bloodshot. I think that was the main action. Well, Extraction didn't go to theater, but
in theaters, yes, those were in theaters.
Yes, and Ad Astra, which... was another big movie, but not an action. It was had some action, but it wasn't an action film.
Mm-hmm.
Had Tommy Lee Jones being a weirdo.
Yeah, Brad Pitt also, right?
Brad Pitt. Did you see it?
I didn't see it. It's not good.
Yo, they have this huge chase shootout on the moon, but there's no sound because they're trying to make it realistic.
Sure.
It's like, I know why they put sound now in space battles.
it's so boring
without any sound. It's horrible.
Yeah, sure. Big letdown.
Like, what's going on the screen could be exciting if there was sound.
You're like, hey, if I could hear anything.
It's just like you see like these like guns and like car crashes, and it's just nothing.
Yeah. Well, what they say is true, right? They say 70% of what you see is what you hear.
Yep.
Because it's like literally sound effects and the music make everything much more impactful.
And that's another thing. I was like, if you're not going to put sound, you know, if you want to make it, there's nothing saying you can't put background music in the thing at least.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, totally. I guess they thought they were being artsy with, let's not have any sound.
The movie, if you watch it, it's very... It has big budget and stuff, but you can tell it's going, like, the director was going for, like, more of an artsy film.
Sure,
The coloring, there's, like, a lot of rooms that they go in and the ships and stuff where it's one solid themed color, like red or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I hate stuff like that. Like, to me, I get what you're doing, but, like, you're a sci-fi action film. Like, it doesn't need that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you really hit you over the head with their artistic expression for the film.
You're not Mandy from another movie I couldn't stand.
Nicolas Cage, yeah.
Did you watch Mandy?
No, another movie I have to check out.
Mandy, yeah. You have to watch this to see how, like, crazy weird the film is with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
But it's very, very, like, it's one of those ones that, like, if an hallucinogen is taken, the color of the screen changes and, like, everything gets wobbly.
Yeah.
Great effect, guy.
You have to check this out. I thought the trailer looks nuts, but I'm sure
it is. Don't get me wrong. The storyline and everything. He does have a chainsaw versus chainsaw fight in the movie. So
sure, yeah.
And it's Nicolas Cage just losing his freaking mind.
That's the thing. Like sometimes I think you can't go wrong with that, but other times maybe you can go wrong with that. It depends
on the director. It really does. Yeah. With Nicolas Cage, it depends on if you're going to wind him in or if you're going to just let him go Nicolas Cage.
What are you going to do with him? Sure. Well, we do have another Nicolas Cage movie on our list too, so we'll get into that as well. Yeah. How do you use Nicolas Cage when you?
They don't let him go Nicolas Cage in this one. And maybe that would have made the movie better if they made
him go full Nicolas Cage.
They hired him. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
All right. So what we're gonna do is listen to our last episode if you want the 10 best action films that we counted down in 2020. This is part two where we're going to count down the 10 worst action films from 10 to 1, the one being the worst, what we consider the worst action film maybe ever. But it's up there, but it's definitely the worst action film of 2020, hands down.
Yep. And just a note, too, it was kind of hard to find the 10 best action films, but it was really easy to find 10 of the worst.
Oh, we could have made a bigger list.
Oh, yeah, we could have made, like, 20 of the worst action 2020, the best worst of the action movies in 2020. But
The problem is all the big releases got pushed to 2021, 2022.
Yes.
So we got a ton of stuff that I guess the studio had laying around and just threw at us streaming and straight to, like, Blu-ray and stuff.
Yep. And this is what we get, guys.
And this is what we got. Give us our number 10.
All right, Chris, number 10 is Spencer Confidential. And Spencer Confidential is about when two Boston police officers are murdered. Ex-cop Spencer teams up with his no-nonsense roommate, Hawk, to take down all the criminals. It stars Mark Wahlberg and Winston Duke.
That's the guy from Us.
Yes.
Which he does a much better job in that film.
He does a great job in
Black Panther, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But in this one, he is so unlikable and boring and miscast.
Flat. He's really flat. His character's flat. Yes. He's there.
There's no character arc for him at all. He's just there the whole movie.
And there's very little chemistry between the two, which you'd think that you would need that, like, above all else. And there's very, very little chemistry.
But this tries to be like a buddy cop thriller.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a mystery to it too.
But this movie is more of like a mystery movie, like an investigation film than an action movie. Like I thought this would be like, okay, maybe this would be like Lethal Weapon, right?
Yeah.
Like a buddy cop film, but like it's not like that at all. It really is Mark Wahlberg kind of like trying to figure out, you know, solve the crime, who's killing these cops, and then Winston Duke is kind of just there as like consequential. He's just there. Like, he just happens to be there with him. It's not like he's invested in solving this.
No, he doesn't even. Yeah, he has no invest. He lives in the same halfway house he lives in.
Exactly. Yes.
What's his name? What's the guy's name again? Alan Arkin?
Yes.
Is the head of the halfway house?
Yep. Yeah, he's in it too. He's great.
Probably the only good thing about this whole movie is seeing a little bit of Alan Arkin every couple of minutes.
And you know, he's always good. Even with this, he phones it in because like he's always does a good job. But it could have used probably more of him, if nothing else. This movie needed more charm. I don't know, charm to it. Like it really didn't have. I don't know, it just didn't have much going for it.
And when it tries to be, like, quirky funny on some parts, the jokes absolutely fall flat.
The jokes, there's not one funny joke in this entire movie.
Like, and they try, though.
They really try, yeah.
And what upsets me more is that Peter Berg directed this. And Peter Berg did the rundown, he's Mr. Mark Wahlberg over here, Mrs. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Hasn't been, like, all his latest, but he did the rundown, he did so many good movies.
But he did Mile 22, and that really wasn't, that was kind of
that was piss poor, too.
Yeah, that was bad, like, we got excited for that one. And it was
but
just,
Patriot
like,
Day and Deep Horizon are really good.
Yes, those are good films. I guess it's kind of sort of hit and miss with Peter Berg, like, mm-hmm. you know, but this one was definitely a miss.
This is actually worse than Mile 22. At least Mile 22, like, yeah, the action scene, but it's non-stop action, so at least you're like...
Yes.
Thrilled, you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. Maybe what you see isn't good action, but it's there. It's action. Like you might not be excited by it, but like at least he's there. He's trying, and this is just no action in it
this movie. But this movie was promoted as an action film. When you look at all the trailers, that's what really aggravated me.
And there's only that one scene where they're in the restaurant, the fast food joint, and they have that fight with the machetes, and then he.
That's the only really good action. Only really not even good. Just
scene. Yeah, it's a competent action scene set piece.
But and in the end, they have, like, this car crashing thing going on.
Oh, that's right. Yes. It's
stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, too little.
This whole movie's stupid.
Yeah. Yes. It's not a good film. I mean, it's just not. That's stupid.
What's number 9?
Number 9 is One Night in Bangkok. And One Night in Bangkok is about a hitman named Kai flies into Bangkok, gets a gun, and orders a cab. He offers a professional female driver big money to be his all-night driver, but when he realizes Kai is committing brutal murders at each stop, it's too late to walk away. Meanwhile, an offbeat police detective races to decode the string of slayings before more blood is spilled.
Is that entire plot, word for word, or is that a synopsis?
That is the synopsis straight from IMDb, but it might as well just be the plot of the movie, because pretty much
Mark Dacascos is the only really known star in this film. It's a low budget film.
Mm-hmm.
It was also who directed it? Yeah, the director.
Sure. I'm not sure who directed.
Okay.
This.
Probably a nobody.
I honestly don't even want to know because this movie kind of almost fell asleep watching this movie.
Me too. Me
like,
too.
Like it's just so boring. This film. Like I.
It
really
tries to be Collateral. It's very similar to Collateral.
Yes.
Storyline wise.
Literally, if I just reread that synopsis, it's pretty much Collateral. So it's just take out Mark Dacascos and put in Tom Cruise. But yeah, it tries to be Collateral with all but take out all the action and suspense.
Yeah.
That's what you have.
All the thrills and spills of Collateral that keep you on the edge of your seat and the dialogue that's amazing in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Take it all out and just put some whiny girl cab driver.
And put some whiny guy.
whiny Mark Dacascos.
Yeah, who's sitting in the backseat just whining the whole time.
I don't want the audience to think we don't like Mark Dacascos because I do like Mark Dacascos. He is a great action star when he's in the right roles.
Yes, when he's in the
this
right roles.
This is not a role for him.
Yeah, I think they were trying to like take on a more of a serious kind of role, but this is like way too serious. This falls into like just melodrama. Like again, he's like whiny and like mopey and like emo-y the whole movie. Like he lost his family, but like he's really really overselling it, and like he's not even played to his strength of like, hey man, like. Getting mad at these guys who killed your family. He just does it like almost emotionless and without any kind of like, I don't know, like anger or like anything. Like there's no, he's not struggling with any kind of demons. He's just like, oh, I have a mission to do. I have to kill these people. And that's
but he's not like a hitman or anything. He's just like some banker that goes on revenge spree. And for him not to have any emotion doesn't play to the character arc that he should have as some banker killing everybody.
Yeah, it's like he's doing this because they accidentally killed his family in a car accident. But, like, you would not get that from how he's playing the role at all.
You would think he was, like, some trained assassin. The way, like, he's emotionless.
But he's not. But then other scenes, he's, like, whining to the girl. The cab driver. So it's like, what's this?
But the action-wise, there's only, like, two action scenes in the whole movie. And you don't get what you want from Mark Dacascos, I'll tell you that right now.
No, and they only tease you a little bit with the last fight scene, like you think,
which is him getting really his ass kicked.
And he's getting his ass kicked, in the most pathetic way too. Like where the guy just grabs me and kicks me in the chest a couple of times. Yes. Like it's not even like a cool like ass kicking scene. He just gets like roughed around on the floor.
And that's Ken Kasogi from he's the villain in the Ninja 2. So another guy that can fight, and they don't use him.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, pretty much.
So what's number 8?
Number 8 is Arch Enemy, and Arch Enemy is about Max Fist claims to be a hero from another dimension who fell through time and space to Earth, where he has no powers. No one believes his stories except for a local teen named Hamster. Yeah, this stars a main guy, Joe Mangiello. I think that's how you say his last
name. His name is so hard. Sofia Vergara's husband.
Mangiello?
Magnelliaggio?
It
stars Deathstroke.
Yes, yeah. And the big problem with this movie is somebody tried to make a really independent, artsy superhero movie.
Yes.
And took out all the things that make superhero movies, and tried to inject them with, like, I guess social commentary, maybe. I don't really know. About
wanting to be, like, two things. Wanting to be, like, woke, and wanting to be, like, like, you know, like on BuzzFeed, it's trying to have like a social commentary on like BuzzFeed and being popular and
and also about like mental health and but at the same time, it's just also like a sci-fi movie because it tries to like blur the lines between what's real and what's fake. Like the whole time you're wondering, like, is he really from another dimension? Is he just out of his mind? And most of the movie, it's pretty clear he's just out of his mind. Like he's just crazy.
But then end, they have like all these different twists that you're like, wow, that is really dumb.
It's dumb. And also, there's not... And as far as action goes, there's very, very, very little action. There's only one quick set piece towards the end where he invades the bar to, I guess, get the bad guy.
Yeah.
Right? Who gets away. And then at the very end where, like...
Also, he saves the girl in the apartment.
Which is also a very, very quick scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are not really, like... This is not an action film. This is barely even a superhero movie. It's like an experiment. I feel like this movie was like an experiment to try and make a different kind of superhero movie.
But it's not a good film.
But it didn't make the mark. Like it didn't do what I think it set out to do.
And it has really poor animation.
Yes.
Which I hated the animation and the color. Like
He's explaining his backstory, it's all animated. But it's this very independent comic look to it where it's very little detail and it's more about like contrast colors than anything else. It's not you know, you're not going to get Tom McFarlane Image Comics here or anything like that.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't Jim Lee art.
No.
What I want to say, though, for the audience real quick, is like we're not purposely picking non-action movies. All the movies that we pick to review and are on the list are promoted as action films.
Or at least like
trailer-wise, they show action in the trailer. So it's like we go in going, okay, there's going to be action in this movie. The trailer showed a bunch of action scenes.
And even without the action not being there, it's still not a good, very good movie.
No, it's
That's
not.
Another thing, too. Like, say they do with Spencer Confidential and One Night in Bangkok. Like, it's fine. Okay, they don't have a lot of action. And maybe I go in knowing that. They're still not good movies. I did not enjoy them at all. Like, the stories, the acting's bad. The plots are bad. Like, you could pick apart the plot really easily. It's just, they're just not good films.
What's number 7?
Number 7 is The Hunt. And The Hunt is about 12 strangers wake up in a clearing. They don't know why they're there or how they got there. They don't know they've been chosen for a very specific purpose. And you guess if you wonder why, it's to be hunted.
Who's in this?
This is Betty Gilpin and Hilary Swank.
Now, what upset me about this movie is two things. The first thing is the movie starts off really good.
Yeah.
And the other thing is all I wanted from this movie, all I wanted was B-movie gore schlock. That's all I wanted to see from this movie.
We really thought this was going to be like a B version of The Hunger Games.
Yes. So
like you get a bunch of people who get hunted in the
woods.
Battle Royale, yeah. Like by crazy rich people. Like that's what it sold itself in a trailer at least as. And that's kind of, and you kind of get that, but not really. It's like a bait and switch, because it's more about the political commentary and like satire than anything else. It's more of a comedy, really, just them making fun of like the political climate of the country at the time than anything else. But as far as an action movie goes, it's just, there's a lot of missed opportunities that for really great action set pieces that are just like wasted. Like, because again, they don't focus really on the action. They focus more on trying to get their political point across, really.
There's three decent action scenes. There's the first one, which is more of like a horror-y kind of scene where they're finding these weapons and they're all getting gory death.
Yes.
There's a shootout in a bunker, which is cool, but it's over in like 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. Then there's a really cool fight between Betty Gilpin and Hilary Swank at
the very end, yes.
But unfortunately, this one goes on for too long.
This was very long, and it's brutal, too. That's the one good thing about it. Like, it's a very brutal fight, but it's so brutal that you're like, there cannot just be throwing each other through walls and furniture for like 15 minutes, like,
and glass
and glass and everything. Like, it's just so much. And at the same time, there's still like waxing politics and like political philosophy the whole time. It's just like, can't we just get down to it and have a fight? Like, I don't know. This movie just kind of was a letdown, because I really was excited for this movie and I thought it was going to be better than what it was.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't like them, but, you know, again, I'm entertained by the Purge movies. And these are the same people that made this movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Purge do have a political undertone to it. A big one, actually.
Yeah.
But it also has a lot of, like, schlocky B-movie horror and action that, like, you know, that grindhouse stuff going on that it makes you entertaining. Mm-hmm. This doesn't give you that, unfortunately. No. You want it.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it gets really hung up on, it's like, on the political satire of the whole thing. You know, that's okay. You can have political satire in a film, but when it only becomes about that, and you kind of forget the reason why, you know, you're making a movie like this. It's like, it's supposed to be fun and exciting, right? You can still have your political, you know, leanings or whatnot, and still make an entertaining film. But it wasn't really that entertaining. It kind of was a letdown. I was expecting so much more from it. It just, I don't know. I thought like even the movie itself feels rushed. Like, I just can't wait to get to the end of it. Really, it doesn't like want to take its time or anything.
What's number six?
Number six is Harley Quinn, the Birds of Prey. And after splitting with the Joker, Harley Quinn joins superheroes Black Canary, Huntress, and Renee Montoya to save a young girl from an evil crime lord. This stars Margot Robbie, Hugh McGregor, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and Rosie Perez.
This movie, any other year would have been number one. Bad movie.
This is a bad film. This movie, I don't think knew what it was trying to be. Like, it wanted to be a superhero movie, but it didn't want to be a superhero movie. It tried to do something more with itself.
It wanted to really inject a ton of comedy into itself.
Yes.
And none of it's funny.
Yeah.
Listening, I love Horace Harley Quinn, right? But having her voice over Harley Quinn's voice for an hour and 40 minutes is draining on your soul.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. And that's the thing. She goes a Deadpool route where she's, like, explaining what's happening and what's going on. And she has, like, again, that Harley Quinn Brooklyn accent. And, again, it's nonstop. And even the movie itself kind of, it goes in a couple of weird directions with the characters. The action scenes are really hit and miss, where, like, some of them are okay. Some of them are, like, better than others. And other ones are just horrendously bad. Especially the ending fight scene in that carnival playground area.
And what about the car thing at the end?
Oh,
probably one of the worst action things I've ever seen in a movie.
Yes. Where Black Canary uses superpowers to propel Harley Quinn on roller skates into a car chase. It's really, really, really bad. Again, this movie didn't, I don't think, knew what it wanted to be. The only saving grace of this movie is Hugh McGregor.
Yeah, he's hamming it up.
He's great as a bad guy. He was hamming up. He's amazing. Just because he's having fun with it, he doesn't seem to care.
But he seems the only actor that's like in on the joke of what this movie is.
Yes,
he's the only actor that's not taking all this like really serious.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's taking it really serious. And again, the action's not really that good. No. The pacing's horrible. The editing is horrible. Like,
especially in the carnival.
Especially in the carnival at the end. It's just, I don't know, like, again, it tries to be serious when she's in the police station and she's like shooting cops with the gas grenades or whatever they were.
No, it was like paintball guns.
Like paintball
and they're
guns.
Getting, like, seriously hurt from one paintball bullet.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there's another scene where he has, like, it's like the fight in the basement with the bikers, and that's pretty cool. Like, that's like a halfway decent fight. But that's it then. The rest of the movie is her kind of like hanging out with the younger girl who's like the thief, trying to save her. But then that kind of goes sideways. And it just, again, the movie tries to, like, I don't know, come to terms with itself as you're watching it. And you're just like, what's going on with this movie? Until the very end, there's just a standoff in an old abandoned circus, where a funhouse, I guess.
I'm assuming it's like it's supposed to be that Joker carnival that that's all the Batman cartoons.
Yeah, I guess. Apparently, it's abandoned, and she's just hanging out there, and that's where they had the little standoff.
It's a horrible movie. It really is bad.
It was a letdown.
Suicide Squad's bad, but this really takes the cake for bad DC. EU yep. movies.
Yeah, it's like editing, directing, cinematography, acting, writing. Like, it just gets bad marks across the board.
What's next?
Even though Harley Quinn was bad, it's not as bad as The Last Days of American Crime.
Woo!
And in this movie, in the not-too-distant future, as a final response to terrorism and crime, the U.S. government plans to broadcast a signal making it impossible for anyone to knowingly commit unlawful acts. And starring in this is Edgar Ramirez.
And now... Edgar Ramirez is not the most likable actor.
No.
He doesn't drip charisma as either. A main star.
He has a lot of faraway looks in this movie.
Yeah.
He stares off into space, or he's
staring. He has that Tom Cruise thing in The Mummy going on.
Yes, where he's just staring and has this confused look on his face, or you don't really know what he's thinking. And this movie is way too long.
This movie's 3 hours almost.
And this movie is not interesting really at all. The idea is really stupid. The characters are really, really fucking stupid who are in this movie. Everything from the guy who he meets who recruits him for the heist to the girl who's
the
in
mobster
it.
Son guy.
All the characters are dumb and idiotic and stupid.
The action scenes are bad.
There's
a scene where this guy's laying under a car shooting at these like SWAT guys and they can't hit him. Just, they're in an elevator. He's like, come on, get the elevator. I'm just what is going on right now?
Yeah, the movie's just fucking stupid. It's really, really, really stupid. It makes me angry how stupid
they have a car chase where two cars are right next to each other with their shotguns in each other's windows.
And they have machine guns. And they're right next to each other. They're unloading clips and clips of bullets.
In the guy's window. It has the gun in the window.
He literally might have it up to his head. And not only is he not hit, but the car is fine. The car doesn't have bullet holes ruling it.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
This movie has so many problems with it. It has so many problems with this movie. And it tries to be... I know it's a graphic novel, but it goes to show you that not every graphic novel should be made into a feature film. And this is a perfect example of that.
It was directed by... what's his name? Oliver Megaton?
Sure.
The guy who did Taken 3 and Transporter 3.
That makes sense now.
This is what happens when you give him complete control of a movie.
Yeah, yes, because Taken 3 and Transporter 3, they're not good movies, but they're way better than The Last Days of American Crime.
Yes. Oof. There's not a single likable character in this whole movie.
There's not even a single likable scene in this movie.
No, that too.
There's no one scene where you're like, oh, okay, at least that was cool. You're watching it. No. Every scene is lame and boring or just stupid where you don't believe anything you're watching at all. Ugh.
What's number four?
Number four is Jiu-Jitsu. And Jiu-Jitsu is about every 6 years an ancient order of Jiu-Jitsu fighters joins forces to battle a vicious race of alien invaders. But when a celebrated war hero goes down in defeat, the fate of the planet and mankind hangs in the balance. And this stars Nicolas Cage, Tony Jaa, Frank Grillo, and Alan Musai.
And this movie has the movie I'm about to mention is way better than this, but it has the same issue. The issue Triple Threat had, mm-hmm. where you have a bunch of different people in the movie, you don't give mm-hmm. any of them any time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy you do in this movie give time to shine is an absolute wood board as an actor.
He might as well be a rock.
Yeah, my God, is he bad.
He does not have one emotional, he's not showing one emotion this entire movie besides bewilderment and confusion, which is one state of being in the entire film. He can barely get through his dialogue half the time.
He doesn't have a lot of dialogue, exactly.
They purposely didn't give him dialogue because they know he can't deliver it properly. So you basically have Tony Jaa, Nicolas Cage, and Frank Grillo doing all the talking for him.
Basically, this movie is a martial arts version of The Predator.
Yes.
An alien comes here to hunt martial artists, and this secret sect of martial arts jiu-jitsu masters mm-hmm. wait for him to come every couple of years and fight him.
Yeah, they have it's kind of like Mortal Kombat as well. They have earned the right, has to earn the right to survive.
They're kind of dressed like Mortal Kombat. The villain, you know those generic ninjas in the red from the Mortal Kombat movies? That's how they dress.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and so if they defeat the alien, he goes away for 10 years or whatever. And if they don't, he's gonna kill everybody on the planet.
Now what's the Nicolas Cage problem in this movie?
Nicolas Cage problem is that they let Nicolas Cage be Nicolas Cage without any direction.
But it's like he's just on set wandering around.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Without any direction. They just said, hey, be in this movie, hear your lines, that's it. Do whatever you want. And he just did whatever he like. It's like you could tell like, he figured out the character himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't come from the script. It came from like him just being like, okay, I'm going to do this.
And he's just being like, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Like, he's not being like some, like, you know, he's basically Raiden, right? He's in the Mortal Kombat movie. That's the character he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's version of Raiden. The guy who knows what's going on.
Yep.
But, like, he's just being Nicolas Cage. Like, he's not paying, like, a stoic. He's, like, basically, like, this shaman who's losing his mind.
Yeah, and he's cracking jokes. But he's cracking, like, Nicolas Cage jokes.
Yes, he
not
is.
Not, like, actual jokes. Like, again, they're Nicolas Cage jokes. So it's this odd thing where, like, only he gets the punchline to them and no one else does. But the way he delivers them, he's, like, expecting you to laugh, but, like, no one laughs. It's again, it's really unique. Like, if you're a Nicolas Cage fan, if you're, like, a super fan, it's definitely worth checking out because he's not in it a lot. He's only in it very little bit of it. But, like, you know, oddly enough, he kind of steals the show because
he does have a fight.
It's Nicolas Cage, and he does have a fight. Again, another problem with this, none of the fights are actually ever really that good. There's a couple, like, weapons fights in the middle that are okay.
None of them involve the main star, though. I want to mention that.
None of them involve the main star.
Well, actually, all the good fights, they involve Tony Jaa.
And Frank Grillo, yes. And they purposely focus
on
them.
And that other guy that was in Welcome to Sudden Death. The only guy that could fight in that movie, Maurice Crump.
Yes. He's in it. So, like, and it focuses on them, thank God. But you know, with that being said, though, there's some other really weird cinematography decisions made earlier.
You have a guy
on
in a giant rubber suit trying to do martial arts, but he's the villain.
And the villain, and the bad guy, the alien, looks like just nothing more than a guy in a rubber suit. It clearly looks like a rubber suit.
Yeah.
It does not look real at all.
And it's a huge issue when you know, your movie's literally based off martial arts, and you put the main villain in a giant rubber suit where you can't do anything flexible.
Or how about you call it jiu-jitsu and there's very little to no jiu-jitsu actually.
There's not a single jiu-jitsu movie. This movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's all kickboxing. It's a lot of kickboxing.
Yeah, you should call the movie kickboxing, the alien, you know, the alien invasion or something like that.
You have Nicolas Cage doing samurai sword fighting. Yes. The main character's doing a ton of kickboxing. Yep. Frank Grillo is a knife fighter.
Yep.
Tony Jaa knows Muay Thai.
Yep.
I think that Maurice Crump's the only guy who tried to do a little bit of BJJ in there.
Yeah, just throwing for good measure, really. That's really it.
Yeah,
is.
Really.
Like, even that's barely in the movie. So it's just, this movie's all over the place. Cinematography, the editing is all over the place. They do this bad first person view thing in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. It's horrendous. Oh, my God. What's bad about that is that it never stays in one view, so it's in first person, and then it literally looks like the main actor puts the camera down, runs forward, fights, and then gets hit back in and picks the camera back up.
Yeah, it's just running with it. It's really, really stupid. And they don't do it again the entire movie, thank God.
Yes.
But it just makes it all the more stand out, basically.
If you want to see good first person, I have two recommendations. One, obviously, just watch Hardcore Henry. It's not a great movie, but there's some cool action scenes with first-person view.
Yes, it actually does it right for the most part.
And the other one is the Doom movie. There's a scene of first-person, which literally makes you feel like you're, like, watching the video game the best it could be put on film.
Yes, and please excuse the alarm that's going off in the background. I don't know if you guys can hear it.
I can't hear it, so maybe it won't
go. Good, okay. Yeah.
Okay, what's number three?
Number three is Welcome to Sudden Death. And Welcome to Sudden Death is about a security guard, ex-Special Forces, brings his two kids to work at a basketball arena on the day the governor, mayor, and thousands of spectators and eight terrorists are there. And this stars our main man, Michael Jai White.
So Michael Jai White definitely has an issue, right? As an actor. He doesn't have any range, right?
Yeah.
I like watching him fight, and I like him when he's put in a role where he's supposed to be like a tough guy.
Yes,
he's playing like a dad. He's trying to crack jokes and one-liners. Everything's falling flat.
Yes.
And tell us about the fighting.
Woof. So the fighting is like take the Upright Citizen Brigade improv group and put them as a stunt team as the fighters. Because that's what it all looks like. It looks like a bunch of guys who are like community actors from local college. They just took them and they're like, okay, you guys are going to fight Michael Jai White. Ready? Go. And just expected them to know how to fight.
They didn't choreograph anything. Michael Jai White just puts his hand up first and they're supposed to kick it.
Basically, he was like, Michael Jai, like, okay, follow my lead. And that,
yeah.
and then they just fight and that's
it. The editing in the movie is Michael Jai White will put his hand up for a block. And then the guy will throw a punch at the hand.
Yep. And then there's bad like forced perspective shots where like you can tell he's not actually making contact with them at all. But they get hit and they spin around, they hit the floor. But it's just like, man, that's just weak.
Now he does fight a 3-on-1 where he ends up fighting Maurice Crump for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Literally, you get a 2-hour movie, you get 30 seconds of entertainment of good fight.
Yes, a good fight. Yeah. Yeah. They try to give you some cheesy knife fight at the end that's really boring.
Oh, man,
really
with that guy, just annoying villain.
It's like the slowest knife fight I've ever seen in my life.
But you know the main guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Yes, none of these people are actual fighters. Except for Maurice Crump, none of these people are actual fighters. Like, all the henchmen, they're just regular actors that they just found. Like, they're not even in shape, these guys. They're just there. Like, for a movie a sequel to Sudden Death.
I think they're calling it, like, you know, like those loose remakes where, like.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same movie again. It's the same exact movie. It just takes place in a basketball game.
Instead. Hockey arena. Yeah. Yeah, it's like you think with Michael J. White and the name, the title, they would have a little bit more money or a little bit more, like, taking care of, like, just putting it together, man.
Oh, no,
like,
these look like they filmed it at IKEA. Yes. Like, you know, the room sections of IKEA? They just went in there and filmed the fight scene.
Exactly. All the sets look the same. Nothing looks different. If it wasn't for a couple of other, like, wide shots, I wouldn't even think they were in an arena at all. Like, this movie was a real letdown, too, because, again, from the trailer, you think it's going to be a lot of good action, and the action is just boring and lame and just, everything falls flat. It's not exciting.
You want to watch, the audience, if you want to watch a good movie with Maurice Crump fighting in it, he's, like, the main arch villain, like, not the arch villain, the main henchman in The Protector 2, or Tom mm-hmm. Yong-Gung 2, with Tony Jaa and, what's that girl's name from Chocolate? I don't remember her name.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
in it too, and he gets down in that movie. And the fights, you know, it's The Protector too. It's a straight up Muay Thai movie. It's friggin' awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely recommend that over Welcome to Stuff.
Before we get to the final two, and right before we take a quick break for 10 seconds, we reviewed a movie, Frank, after we made this list, and I want to get your opinion if you would have threw it on the list if we made it before. Mm-hmm. Invincible Dragon.
Oof. Yeah,
it's a bad one.
It's a bad one. That's a bad one.
But I don't know if it's as bad as these 10. Because there is some, at least like it's some competent stuff going on. Like there's the police fight, the police station fight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a few things in the movie that's like, all right, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, it's stupid, but it's not like the worst though.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the thing. Like it's dumb. There's a lot of dumb stuff that happens in that movie. But like, All around, I think it's trying to be more like a cop drama than anything.
Yeah.
Like, these movies that we're talking about now kind of failed at what they were trying to be. Like, again, like, Welcome to Sudden Death, Jiu-Jitsu, like, Last American Crime. Like, these movies did not succeed in the one thing they were trying to do. Invisible Dragon wasn't good, but, like, I think it was trying to just do too many. It was trying to be, like, a cop drama and a martial arts film.
And a fantasy film.
And a fantasy film.
Yeah, it had, like, fantasy elements about this dragon that real.
Yeah, altogether, which is weird. But, like, weird doesn't mean bad. You know, it's a weird film. It's not very good either, but it's not, like, a disaster. Like, it's not a train wreck, you know? But yeah, if it wasn't for a couple of these movies on here, it might have made a list, though.
And speaking of train wrecks, right after we take this quick 10-second break to leave you a message from our sponsor, we're going to talk about two big train wrecks.
Yep.
Our top two worst movies of 2020. We'll be right back in 10 seconds. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we are about to give you the two worst movies of 2020. According to us at the I Want More Action podcast, what's number two, Frank?
All right, man. So number two is Tribal, Get Out Alive. And get ready for this synopsis, man, because straight from IMDb, it's pretty much the plot word for word. But let's see. So the elite military personnel Caitlin Ross retires from service after suffering from PTSD, along with former team member and close friend Brad Johnson. They opt for the
his name's Rag.
No, Brad. Brad
oh,
Johnson.
Brad. I thought you said his name was Rag.
Rag
Johnson.
Rag Johnson. Although you never know, man. In the future, that might be a name of a hero. But they opted for the easy life, and now they're a small security firm. The company has hired a young, troublesome millionaire, Richard Kenning, to clear and secure the land and property he has recently inherited. Rumors and stories surround the land, and buildings are dismissed until people start disappearing, and the team end up locked up with no escape. It soon becomes apparent that they are being hunted, and their race is on to get out alive.
Okay, so first of all, IMDb just got the synopsis wrong. That's not what happens in the movie. They do not hire a young millionaire. He's the son of the guy who already owned the building.
Yes, he basically.
And that's literally like a big plot point in the film.
Yes. Yes, he's not. He thinks he's rich because he now owns a property.
Yes.
But he's not a millionaire before that.
No, and they don't hire him to clear out anything. He hires the police to come clear the building out.
Exactly. And they're there to back them up and just to,
yes.
Basically, they say that there's like squatters there.
Yes.
Or like homeless people are there. Like,
but what's really going on? Failed experiments there from his dad, who was trying to make like this like Fountain of Youth drink.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Fountain of Youth
or like Super Soldier Serum.
Super Soldier Serum. Yeah,
but exactly. They all turned into like zombies.
Yeah, and apparently he was doing this with like the local townspeople or whatever too, because it's like regular people are just down there now. Like
it's a squat. It's basically the squatters. He did it on the squatters.
Yes,
and I guess he kidnapped people. It was that girl who's randomly down there didn't look like a squatter.
Exactly. Yeah, those people like there. I mean, some squatter, but other people look like regular people from like a town or whatever.
Then there's this big, huge monster guy who just grunts and growls.
Yes.
His name is Rag Johnson. No.
Yeah. No, but I mean this movie is a low budget movie from the UK.
It's like when Frank says low budget, he means like it probably had like $10,000 budget.
No, this is very, very low budget. Like, there's no real main star in this at all. I mean, not as far as we, I mean, not like American wise. Like, maybe in the UK, there are bigger stars, but not for us here. And yeah, the action in this movie is very, very, very amateurish.
Yeah. I think.
Is the word like you can tell that they did not have a lot of experience filming or making action films. The crew and cast did not have a lot of experience filming action movies. Like you could tell this was their first or second go at like making action movies. And
one thing I did mention in the review, and I still think that is the main action girl.
Yeah,
she knows how to fight on screen.
Yeah,
they just don't know how to show it, and she doesn't know how to do it right yet because she's probably our first film.
And it looks like, again, same thing, same problem with Welcome to Sudden Death. She's fighting inexperienced people. Like, she's fighting other actors, like not stuntmen or other like screen fighters, just regular people who they hire to like, okay, run at her and get thrown to the wall. And like, that's what they do. Yep. And like, again, there's not a lot of fighting. There's a lot of like pushing and shoving and like tackling. There's not really a lot of like
until she gets the machetes for a little bit. And there's actually a fight at the end. The two big guys fight, and she has like a martial arts fight with the rich guy who has the serum in him now.
Yes, who all of a sudden this guy turns into like kickboxer pro.
One good kick the whole film. The guy throws like a nasty kick at this girl.
Yes, and the problem with those scenes is that they're way too short.
Yes,
and this movie is fairly long too. It's like an hour and 45 minutes, I believe. Mm-hmm. Like it's a longer movie, and it's extremely
repetitive. They had like four rooms, and they keep going back and forth between the four rooms.
It all takes place underground. It's dark. You can barely see anything. The people who are zombies are just like. They're supposed to be like zombies, I guess, but they're just people with like dirt on their face walking around. Like, especially,
like,
this really
looks like they glue effects. Like these warts on them.
Yeah, like these big like Party City boards that they got and stuff. Like, it looks really cheap. And like, I mean, I understand it's low budget, you do what you can, but wow, like,
but bad is bad.
This is bad, yes, bad is bad, and this is definitely bad. It's not exciting. It's not entertaining. I mean, it was a slog to get through. The action was laughable. And it wasn't like, again, it's not fun laughable. It's like, it's just bad laughable.
So, Frank, do you think we should do a quick honorable mention of Wonder Woman? 1984?
We can do that. We just by saying that.
Before we get to number one? Because we watched that after the list, too.
Yes.
And Wonder Woman, I think, even though it's big budget, has great, you know, not great special effects. I'm sorry, that's horrible special effects. But it does have that one big cool scene in the middle of the car chase. The movie is bad.
The movie's a mess. Just in terms of in the tone, in terms of the acting, the story, the plot, the villains are all over the place. The movie has so many problems. But again, it's just
no. I know it's not bad. Top 10, but I think that and Invincible Dragon deserved honorable mentions. We should have did them in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
But they definitely
Malfair. They're bad. Like they're really bad. If Wonder Woman was only a little bit worse than what it was, it probably would have made it on this list with Harley Quinn. But even as bad as Wonder Woman was, it was better than Harley Quinn though. At the end of the day.
Way better.
You know,
Gal Gadot's still like a joy to watch on film. Like I'm not talking about even look wise. She's really embodies the Wonder Woman character very well.
Yeah, yes, but the storyline of 1984 is just bad. It's just really bad.
Yeah. Definitely listen to our review on that because you want to hear us rip a movie apart like we do in this top 10.
Yeah,
we have. Just by the way, the top 10 and the worst 10, we have reviews on every one of those movies. So if you go to our podcast on Spotify or our website, www.iwantmoreaction.com. You can listen to all our reviews there, and you can hear our review for each one of these films.
Mm-hmm.
And how what we thought and why we think they're good or bad. And like, we dive in way more than we are now because
we're just kind of glossing over.
We don't want to make this a 4-hour podcast for you guys.
Seriously, yeah.
All right, it's time. It's time for the number one worst movie action film of 2020. What is it?
People probably are guessing this right now, but it's Money Plane. and Money Plane is about a professional thief with $40 million in debt and his family's life on the line must commit one final heist, rob a futuristic airborne casino filled with the world's most dangerous criminals. And this movie stars Adam Copeland, Kelsey Grammer, and Thomas Jane.
When he says airborne casino, he means stage set?
I mean one set that they use. They dress up differently 4 or 5 times.
All right, this is another. Okay, so Adam Copeland, if you don't know, he's the wrestler Edge. Mm-hmm. He is a horrible actor. Yeah. Oh man.
Yes.
He's he's a decent wrestler, but as an actor, this guy does not have it.
No, not at all. Like he has less than not have it. Like this guy has to just go back to wrestling because acting is not his forte at all. Like
he doesn't even have a good screen look.
No, not a good screen look. He doesn't. He only has this like again he has this thing where he only looks like confused the whole movie. He can't look like anything other than confused or like just weirded out by things. He I don't think he has one sincere line of dialogue in the entire movie. This movie is just a mess start to finish. It's so bad it's good, but it's not good at all.
I'm not saying that like people like Hulk Hogan or John Cena are good actors, right? But they're self-aware enough to know what they can and cannot do on screen.
Yeah.
Adam Copeland Edge, like he's trying to put in like a serious effort here.
Listen, okay, any movie fans, if you ever made a movie in college, like in high school, your friends, and you wanted them to act in the movie. That's his acting style.
Yeah,
like he's kind of like he's aware there's a camera there, but he's almost like camera shy at the same time. Like
he's
not quite sure what to do on camera. Like he's kind of doesn't know where to put.
It's funny because this guy's been wrestling for like 20 years now.
Yeah, but in this movie, it looks so uncomfortable the entire movie, and it's funny because like Kelsey Grammer just hams it up. He's in a couple of scenes, but like clearly he's in one location.
He's the villain.
He's the villain. He's a bad guy. But like even he's handing up going overboard with all his dialogue.
It's funny, and the other thing that's funny is you know Adam Copeland Edge is supposed to be the main star. He's not even in a lot of the movie. He's just in the cockpit.
Yeah,
the other actors like he has like a team with him, two guys and a girl. I think. Other guys and a girl, and they're doing like they're the stars like doing everything in the movie.
Yes, he's literally just sitting in the cockpit pretending to fly a plane.
Yes, against a horrible blue screen.
Yes, for some convoluted reason why he has to fly the plane. Everybody
one of the greatest cockpit fight scenes you'll ever see happens in this film.
Talk about two big dudes in some small little cockpit
big, we mean tall. Like they're not they don't have like screen bills.
Yeah, no. They're just tall dudes who like don't know how to fight in a cockpit at all. Just kind of wrestling one another. Just bumbling around.
Like if you want to see someone use like the dashboard of a cockpit as a turnbuckle, this is the movie for you.
Exactly, it. This is like a WWE episode. Like
throws him off the walls as a ring rope, and he goes running. It's so bad.
It's so bad, and that's only just one cockpit fight.
It's filmed horrible. It's choreographed horrible. The timing is off on all the fight scenes. The girl tries to do like quote unquote martial arts fights,
which is just basically.
But she doesn't know how to fight. Like you could tell the actress doesn't know what she's doing.
No. No, this.
She like seduces them and then bites them or kicks them in the head or something. Like
that's her one move. That she does to every guy in this movie. She seduces them and then bites them and kills them. Or like hits them in the head with a bottle of liquor or whatever it is. All the sets look fake. All the acting is over the top. The dialogue is horrible. Thomas Jane has a drone with a gun ducked.
Oh, Thomas Jane! But Thomas Jane's the best part of this. He's playing like this grizzled war veteran, and he's doing his best this kind of voice.
Yeah.
like that's how he thinks all war veterans have to sound in their movies.
They shot all his scenes from his home in his living room,
or his backyard next to his pool.
His backyard to his pool because he's just sitting down the whole time, not doing anything.
There's one okay scene when these guys raid Thomas Jane's house.
Yes, yeah. But it's like,
I'm not saying it's good, but Thomas Jane tries to do his best John Wick impression, and it comes off as like competent because it's Thomas Jane and he's done action before.
Yes, exactly. So one guy in this movie that actually knows how to do action properly, and it's like the last person that they go to do any kind of action. Like it should have been him on the money plane, not Ed.
Seriously.
What are you gonna do? You know, what are you going to do? But yeah, it's just this movie. It has everything wrong with it.
We have to mention the rock shootout, where it's not a giant rock. It's like gravel, and there's two people on either side of the gravel shooting guns over the gravel at each other, and they can't hit each other.
Like it's a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Like,
yeah, and that's what it looks. Then the good guy finally decides, hey, I'm gonna shove my hand through the gravel and shoot the guy.
Exactly. Which gives the idea of how much gravel is actually there to begin with. But man,
but this is the type of creative action scenes that we get in this film.
Yeah, creative. Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of it just feels like it was done on the spot. Like they just decided to do it when they were there.
Yes.
There wasn't much planning put behind this whatsoever. I mean, we can go on and on about how bad this movie
is. This is an Extraction, guys.
Yeah, no.
Where it's like everything's meticulously planned.
This was, like you said, they had one set. They had the inside of one part of an airplane. They had a cockpit, and that's really it. And they had
they probably didn't have a real cockpit. They probably had like a built cockpit inside like some studio set somewhere that they rented out.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Like some guy found it one day. Like,
because the actual plane looks like a room. It literally looks, it's square. It looks like a room.
Yeah,
well, they're in the plane.
There are other scenes where they're supposed to go to other rooms in the plane, and it's just like a factory. Like it just looks like a building. Like,
yes, it looks like they go to another. Like, it's not like, it doesn't look like a plane where it has like that rounded look to it. Mm-hmm. They literally go into like another square room.
There's like large hallways, like and the ceiling's like 12
feet
high.
There is hallways in the back of it.
That's what I'm saying.
Where the computers are.
Yes, the ceiling's like 12 feet high. The plane's not even 12 feet high.
12 feet high.
Like, what are you doing?
It has a popcorn ceiling in there and everything.
Like, yeah, it's just like, this is not, you guys even trying anymore. It's like, and like, other thing too, there's like servers, like switches and racks servers in a plane. Like,
and there's like 40 energy, of them.
You know, like, electricity and energy and weight that is to put in a plane.
Oh
like,
my
and
God.
And I get it. Like, okay.
How do you keep it cool up there?
Everything. Like, is there so many things wrong with this movie? And also, these are the worst criminals in the world. There's like 5 people in this plane. Like, really, that's all you have is like 5 dudes. And they're playing like cheap. The gambling equipment is like these cheap cards you get, like these chips from like Party City Chips and everything. Like, it's just nothing looks fancy or like expensive at all.
They literally went on Facebook Marketplace and saw people selling like their old like gambling stuff.
Yeah, like cheap tablecloth and folding chairs. It's like, this is not even like a fancy like a casino plane at all. Like, oh man, this movie gets everything wrong constantly.
But, so the whole like the plot point is that like since they're flying. They don't have laws in the air, so they can't get like arrested for the gambling.
Which is not true, by the way.
No,
unless you're over the ocean. But then it's the same thing. Why just be on a boat then? So I don't understand why they did that. It just makes no sense.
You're right.
You know, it just makes no sense.
This is literally this could be one of the worst action films ever.
It could be, yes, because this, make no mistake, this is an action movie. Like
it builds
itself. It's filmed like an action film. It's just the worst action movie you'll ever see. Definitely of 2020, maybe ever.
Definitely of the 2020s so far.
Yes.
One year into it.
This is definitely the worst movie. We're going to keep this movie around for decades to come. I'm sure we're going to reference this movie in the future.
Oh, this movie's going to be on the when we do the worst action movies of all time one day. This might be number one again.
It might be. It really might be, because the thing is, other action movies, you know, like they're bad, but like their heart's in the right place. So so you know, maybe we cut to some slack. But this was just like laziness. This was just like incompetence. This was not like, oh, you guys try, but like you didn't have enough money. Like you tried to do way more than you tried to bite off way more than you can chew, and you thought you were looking good doing it, and you weren't. So sorry.
When your main star is this bad,
yes.
Like the jujitsu main guy is bad, but at least they had other stars around him that could like.
At least he could semi really fight too.
Yeah, like, that's too. Great, that too.
But
yes.
He could hold him. You know, screen fighting wise, he's not that bad. Like. Again, Edge here is just not a screen fighter at all. No. Like,
not an actor, you know, not a screen not fighter. Like, screen this fighter. Guy is. No. This guy's literally watching him is a drain on your energy.
And it's not like he's not funny. Where like, you know, if you watch like other guy, like you said, like John Cena, who maybe can do a little more charisma to it. Even like Stone Cold Steve Austin does a better.
Yeah,
job,
no, yeah.
Man. Like
but Stone Cold Steve Austin is extremely self aware, but he only plays tough guys.
Yes. I mean, you know, even Kohlberg from Universal Soldier had a better time. I mean, I enjoyed his performance way more than I enjoyed Adam Copeland's performance here. And he goes, I guess, you know, for 2020, I don't know, man. 2020 was a crazy fucking year and a perfect year for Money Plane to come out.
At least Goldberg was hamming it up in Universal Soldier.
Yes, exactly. He was having fun with it.
Probably one of my favorite parts of that movie is watching Goldberg.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm saying. Because he's self-aware of what he's doing. Like
he's like, again, this movie's dumb. Like he knows it's dumb.
Yes. Like, again, Adam Copeland's just like, oh, this is a real movie. I gotta really act. Okay, all right, let me really act now. Okay, give me a second.
But
guys.
But I got hired because I scream and growl and beat people in the ring.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna have to do that too.
Yeah, like he's all over the place with it. It's just it's a mess. Again, if you're somebody who loves just like the worst movies of the worst, like check it out. But otherwise,
I think that would be on a list of worst action movies of all time too, because that's another bad one.
It is. Oh, it definitely is. But this with just a low budget and Kelsey Grammer also is just hilarious in this movie too. Thomas Jane, this movie has the makings of just a horrible
movie. It's sad when you go into Money Plane expecting bad and you're still disappointed because you're already like, this is gonna suck, this low budget garbage.
Yes, and it's not bad, like it's so bad it's good, like you can laugh at it. Like it's not entertaining, it's not fun. It doesn't go far enough with its badness because it can't, because it doesn't have the budget or like. The imagination behind it, but like, so you just kind of left with like, oh, that was just boring. It wasn't really interesting. It was kind of just dull.
The problem is a lot of these like low budget movies, like Money Plane, they don't really work anymore. This isn't like the 80s and early 90s anymore, where those type of movies are like, you know, grindhousey fun. Now you want a little more from your movie because it's not as expensive to get decent stuff on the screen.
Yeah, it's like Snakes on a Plane with Samuel L. Jackson was like, okay, that's a B grindhouse B horror movie. Like that's okay, that's fun. That's like, it's stupid, it's ridiculous, but it's entertaining because of how over the top it is. That's what this movie should have been, and it wasn't that at all. Like, not even close to it. Like, it just,
or even like the new Rambo is like a grindhousey film, especially when they get to his farm.
Yeah.
You know, that's what grindhouse is. It's just like action schlock to be action schlock, right?
Exactly. Just have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you have to be self-aware when you make these stupid, silly movies.
And yeah, again, this movie is just boring. It tries to be like a spy movie also halfway through. Like,
yeah. Isn't he a cop
stuff
at the end? He's a cop.
Yeah, he's
right. And it's just like working for like the FBI or something at the end of the movie.
Yeah, and you try to be like James Bond and stuff. It's movie. He just doesn't know what it's trying to do. It's bad. I can't.
Like, then he has like a little kid who doesn't want to touch him. The little kid actress at the end, like he goes to like hug the family, and the little kid's like, don't fucking touch me.
Yeah, you guys are really awkward. It's like, I think you want Edge is my father. Get out of here.
I don't want Edge is my dad. I wanted John Cena to play my dad. Damn it.
What happened with Stone Cold? Thought he was gonna be in this movie. Oh crap.
You told me one of the Hardy Boys were gonna be my dad.
Oh yeah, it was Randy Orton. Was he
Randy Orton? Why is it Randy? Why do I got Edge?
Yeah, seriously, I feel bad because I'm sure Adam Cole was like, oh man, this is it. This is my chance.
I know.
And it's because the movie was well marketed. Like, it was amazing how much marketing this movie actually had behind it. Like, when you watch it, it's like, how does anybody even talk about this movie? But like,
you get like those if you go on your Facebook or your Instagram, you get like those little advertisement box for it.
Yep. Exactly.
Out now on Blu-ray or whatever. Money Plane.
Yeah. You're like, hey, what's this? Okay, this is you know, from the banner.
Like Kelsey Grammer as the villain. Like, you got like, you know, Edge. You know, other wrestlers are decent action stars. Let's see what this is.
Yeah. Oh man.
Put it on. You got this guy walking around with his ponytail. You're like, I can't. I'm done.
Views at things and seeing a cockpit for the whole entire movie. It's like,
is this Edge's action film or is this Edge flies a plane?
Seriously, literally, Edge flies a plane. That's all this movie is. Oh, it's so bad.
Well, we hope you enjoyed our best and now our worst list. We'll do this again. We're going to do this every year as long as this podcast goes, because it's actually one of the funnest things we do.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
Especially the shit on movies that are really bad.
Especially movies like Money Plane.
You have movies like Money Plane, Jiu-Jitsu, and Birds of Prey.
Oh, man. The top 10 that we had here, man, these were definitely the worst.
This makes me actually look forward for the shit movies that are going to come out this year, too. I get that list started in January and just go.
Again, our list had like 40 movies on it, if not more. We had to break them down to like...
Like 10. I said, after we made the list, two more came out that we reviewed, and they didn't make the list because we already made it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure worse movies are going to come out this year than those two. Because
a lot
of studios even held their garbage back to release it this year.
So I'm hoping they release their garbage this year.
It's even like a movie like Honest Thief wasn't very good. It wasn't one of the worst, but
it wasn't good, though.
It just wasn't a good movie.
Yeah. I watched it. I enjoyed it for what it was worth, but I'll never watch it again.
But another movie with bad marketing. Hey, you want to see another action thriller with Liam Neeson? Come watch this and see no action.
I see no action with Liam Neeson. Basically, just Liam Neeson. I mean, it's an okay movie, but yeah, don't get excited for that movie either.
Like these three we mentioned on the side didn't make the list, but... We could have made a list of 40 movies this year.
They were letdowns. They weren't bad.
Yeah.
We were just let down by them, really. I mean, maybe except for like Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was pretty fucking bad.
No, Wonder Woman was bad. Wonder Woman was bad.
Woof.
Jiu-Jitsu was more of a letdown.
Yeah.
Because we went in there thinking we were going to get some good fight scenes until the guy had a giant rubber suit on.
Yes, when you had Nicolas Cage, Tony Jaa, and Frank Grillo in it, you're like, all right, the guy from Kickboxer, you're like, okay, this might be pretty good, and it wasn't at all.
And, you know, after you see Boss Level, you're like, yo, Frank Grillo was a good action star.
Yes, they could have done so much more with him.
And don't use him in this movie.
Nope. It's just a shame.
But, you know, instead of going off on a large tangent, we took up a lot of your time, guys. So we're going to get back to our reviews now in the coming episodes, and we hope you enjoy this. This is Mr. Action signing out.
This is Frankie Cranks. Until next time, guys.